Introducing Rabbi Joel Jerusalem, 13 after 9 on Thursday morning, the last day of the week of the Efradinger Shkolo, doing contemporary halakhic issues. And what is our halakhic issue for the day?
Critiquing the government.
The government.
Maybe we're a little bit surprised, but I guess let me just give a little background about myself. Just it's good to be back. Thank you, Bruce, for
reinviting
me. My name is Joel Jerusalem. I grew up in New York, went to YU, made Aliyah 7 years ago, roughly. I think so. Coming up on seven, I think. I gave shiurim here when I first made Aliyah. I left for a little bit to
work.
to start a small company. And
company's going.
I thank God. So there's two options. Either I could have gone out of business and I'd be back because I had free time, and or I've got other people that are able to do some of the work, and that's the case. We do a type of legal consulting for international patents, basically. And I told you at the time I'd come back when things settled down. You probably don't remember, but
I did.
But thank God things settled down, and it's nice to be back. Generally, what fascinates me often, and what I like to try to talk about, are developments in halacha. Which again, whether you're modern Orthodox, Haredi, everyone recognizes that halacha has developed based on how far back you want to go. If you want to talk about how David HaMelech's halachic life looked, fascinating discussion. But even if you go back to the fact that certainly many people think that there were Rishonim who were eating, you know, chicken and fish, chicken and
this.
And
we said that the benching was a different bunch were added.
Yeah. So it's certainly, you know, there's just so much one can deny it. It certainly has been tremendous development, and I think that often it's interesting to hear it in the hashkafic categories. The developments are probably the most extreme. You know, the fact that the Gemara seems to speak very negatively about women learning Torah, and yet people today would think that the failure to women learn, you know, women
for
not
schneer.
Learn Torah is
well, the issue is not so much how things develop, but how they might have retrogressed. In other words, you used to sell your daughter, so to speak, to a neighbor who might have a better economic circumstance, and it's not really a sale, so you hope that they marry into that family.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I guess it's not done.
No, not as often.
Can you
not as directly.
It's not a sale. Again, it's like an employment contract where you hope that they get married.
Yeah.
For the sake of better improving her economic situation.
That's true. Marriage is an interesting discussion in its own right, how marriage has changed over years. I think it's fascinating, too, how this concept of love is a very modern concept. You know, meaning it's...
Well, it's still done in some communities where you're matched up with that.
Of course. I would fear to say the majority of the world is probably still like that. I was just in India, you know, in countries like, you know, China, India, there are billions of people that have not yet introduced this Hollywood love as being the, you know, as being the be-all and end-all. And this
maybe it shouldn't be.
And maybe it shouldn't be, I'm not sure. But I'm saying that's why the idea of now, let's say, homosexual marriage has been pushed on the fore in a way that it hadn't years ago. Because in the past, marriage wasn't viewed as a love and your bashert in a way. This is the person who you I mean, maybe they had the concept, but not in the way that we know it today of the person who you just love and you just it, no. It was practical. It was financial. It was economical. It made sense. It fit. You know. So of course you found a, you know, what?
It was a handshake.
Exactly. So a man and woman. That's the necessary piece to make a family. So that's the only model that makes sense. Now the question has begun to rise up, but really it's rooted in this change of marriage as a whole. Is what, you know, what's the goal of marriage? So again, you know, I try to find different things that I think are interesting. I'm open to researching other topics. I like looking into them. I like trying to uncover them, and it often is the most fun when it's things that you wouldn't expect to be controversial.
Oh, I still remember you had the concept of a kosher brothel in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Like
huh?
Well,
I should listen to the tape.
No,
they didn't take it those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got rid of those notes, but
how it works.
Okay, so there's a pasuk. Let's see, there's a chumash here, and a chumash here.
On the right side, all the way to the right.
Every choice. Every also Microbus Fidelis. You have your whole choice of different...
Okay. Again, a plastic that people wouldn't think would change and wouldn't think is controversial, but I think one that definitely leads to some interesting discussion. The plastic's in Parsha Shemot. It's Chaf Bet Chaf Zayin. And the plastic reads... the first word actually can be read in one of two ways, but what? No. Elokim lo tekalel, and the reason I say it can be read in two different ways is because there's actually a machlokas rishonim whether Elokim lo tekalel refers to you shouldn't curse God, or you shouldn't curse Elokim being a Elohim, being a Dayan, which is, it's machlokas rishonim, some people say that it's both. And the second half of the pasuk, v'nasib amcha lo taor. And the nasi amongst you, you also shouldn't Taor, which is interesting. It's not the same word as tekalel. So,
what's the definition of taor?
I don't know. Meaning, I don't know. I mean, certainly, the approach that many of the Rishonim take is very similar to tekalel. What's the difference between tekalel and taor?
Maybe biz badman. Curse is a strong term.
Yeah.
But speak ill of.
From a linguistic perspective, I'm not sure, but. The Rishonim, let's see how they took it. I didn't photocopy for you the Rambam because I think he's a little bit boring in this on this one, but I wanted to give a standard read how people read this pasuk and how they translate lo taor.
What defines an asi?
Also a good question, and also a broad range of
it. You could say in times in the past, of course you couldn't badmouth a political leader because it wasn't a democratic process.
Okay.
But in the democratic process. Part of it is to
the democratic process. The majority of the people are the ones who are picking the person.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to argue and therefore badmouth the guy you don't want.
Government happens to be something that interests me as well. And I was in China for businesses going back a while back, and happened to be asking. We took a tour guide for a couple of hours that we had free, and I was asking a little bit about the government. So he says, okay, the government in China has two parts. It's 80% communist and 20% non-communist. However, the 20% are not allowed to say anything against the against the 80%.
They get shot.
Why do the 20% exist? Because the communists want them there. They want a silent minority. They want some type of representation. And you know, and again, here about this. And we said, oh, is anyone allowed to talk bad about the government? It's like, sure, you can, but I wouldn't recommend it.
It's like the KGB in Russia.
Exactly.
You know,
my wife always says that China's done an incredible job with PR, that people don't appreciate what's going on in that country in terms of the limited rights. But the truth I want to talk about, is it as bad as people think? And, you know, is that such a bad philosophy? And is that an anti-Jewish philosophy? And is that not what this pasuk is saying? I mean, we've grown so accustomed to, oh, come on, you can't badmouth the government. Of course you can badmouth the government. In fact, many people would say you have
free
to badmouth the government.
Free speech.
Free speech. Forget even that. Let's say the government's doing something that is wrong. Meaning, is it, you know, a friend who's very active with the sales of weapons. And this I do remember speaking about years ago. The sales of weapons to
dictators.
To dictators, to countries that are going to...
But we had
the Gemara talks about it.
The Gemara does talk about it.
The Gemara talks about selling weapons to Goyim and iron.
Yes.
We had a separation of powers. You're the king.
Yeah.
You had a Sanhedrin that probably could argue with the king, and certainly a Navi.
Yeah. Yes.
What the people did, we don't know, but.
Yeah, there definitely was some type of a divide, but I know there's a big question now about fighting the government. Against these, you know, these arms sales, and it is definitely a complicated question because, in some ways, people are embarrassing the government. Some people call it a chil Hashem that they're raising this, and they call it a chil Hashem that people aren't raising it. I mean, they think have not be protesting the fact that it exists, and there aren't protests in front of the prime minister's house, in front of, you know, the president's house.
Is there a difference in our obligation with our own Jewish government versus if you're living abroad? Should you be
the answer is certainly yes. Certainly yes. The question is, how that plays out is a question.
Basically, it boils down to if some other country would fill that void selling the arms, then you're absolutely allowed to sell the arms.
I don't know. Let's say they're selling those arms.
We would sell to middlemen.
If they're selling arms to terrorists, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure, Bruce, in terms of how it would go in a different country, if you're more obligated to protest, meaning if it's a Jewish country, maybe you could say you need to follow the Jewish rule. That's not up for your discussion. If you're in a different country, then you have to be driven by values, and you can't if the government there.
You still have to follow what the Torah. You can't go against
Dina DeMarcadino.
The Torah dictates something, no matter where you live in the country.
No, that's true, but should you permit the government to do things that you think are immoral?
So when I looked into Dina DeMarcadino, the Shmuel and Rav, Rav did not support that. And Shmuel and his father were in with the government. They were there for a long time.
I didn't know this. We're going to have to learn that shit.
And therefore Shmuel... very much favored Dina DeMarcadino. Yeah. He was sort of, he was with the government.
Yeah, I didn't realize Rob didn't feel like that was everything's up for argument out there. Okay, let me quickly go through the Rambam, because like I said, this isn't what I wanted to focus on, but just to see a standard read of how people read this pasuk here. And again, things that are strange, and the Rambam...
Where in the Rambam is this?
Hilchos Sanhedrin, the 26th parak, Halacha Aleph. And again, he's going to highlight the point that I'll show it inside rather than saying it outside. Kol ha-makalel dayan medina Yisrael, a judge, right? Violates a lo ta'aseh, shenemar Elohim lo tekalel. Right? He learns the pasuk Elohim, a judge, not as cursing God. Rashi there.
Where do we see Elohim as judge? Do we ever call a judge Elohim? I'm just asking you. Where's the makara saying Elohim is a judge? He might have been one of the. Was he one of the judges?
No,
he's
but
called Ishelohim.
Yeah, but he usually could have read that as a man of God. Meaning,
but Rashi says he's Elkanah. We just did this 2 weeks ago. Elkanah. Yeah. That's how I know it.
That's good. I'm not sure. I have to look at a Takrodatsi to see where it comes.
Okay,
up.
I'm just okay. Thinking
no,
out loud.
It's good. The chain, and similarly, im kilel hanasi, right? If you curse the nasi, again, he used the word kilel. You asked how you translate ta'or. He says it's cursing. Echad rosh ha-sanhedrin ha-gdola, o ha-melech, over belotase, shenemar v'nasi ba'amcha lo ta'or. You shouldn't ta'or tekalel, you shouldn't curse a nasi. He calls as rosh sanhedrin or the melech. You'd ask who fits into this category. Right. So it's going to be a lot of discussion who fits into this category. That's the way he reads it for now.
You think it's in the context of his governing role, as opposed to he's your neighbor, and he ran over your kid's bike, and you curse him out. The fact that he's a judge, so what?
Maybe
in his capacity.
But you have to.
Let's finish the Rambam, then we'll discuss that a little further. V'lo dayim v'nasi bilvad, ela kol makal echad miyisrael loke, shenemar lo tekalel cheresh. So the Rambam highlights, it seems to be a little bit repetitive. Right, what's unique about, and this is what I think leads to the... more interesting, we showed him to take a little bit of a different approach to what's going on. But you need to answer the question, what's special about the Nasi, what's special about the Dayan, right? That they get their own obligation.
Well, because they're in different status. For example, Melch every day has to get a haircut. Not everybody has to get a haircut every day.
Yeah, so why would that lead...
It's a covet for the position that you're in.
Ah, okay. So we'll talk about the covet in a second.
No, I think you're undercutting society.
Okay. Well, I think those are going to be connected. There's an earlier approach that people take as to why these are spelled out, and they try to say from the context of the psukim before talk about if you lend someone money and he gives you a picado and you can't hold it overnight, right? You have to give it back to him. So again, I don't remember which of the Rishonim mentioned, but they say, oh, so because of the fact that it didn't always work out for the poor guy, I mean, the Torah prescribed you should get your shirt back. You should get it back. But let's say it doesn't work. So what do you do when you go home that night? You curse the guy who owes you the shirt, and you curse the judge who he was supposed to enforce it. I went to Bezin. They told me, give him your shirt. You're going to get it back at night. I didn't get it at night. I've got a fair complaint. So it's specifically because of the fact that the judge, and I think you could say similar things about the king as well, they're first on the line. They're exposed to get cursed. So the Torah has to put an extra protection for them in specific. Meaning a regular guy, why are you going to curse me? I have nothing to do with you. But a judge is putting himself out there, so to speak. They want that protection.
But God warns the judge, says, I will hear him cry out against you.
You're right. But simultaneously he tells the person, don't curse him. You're right. I mean, it's one of those balances, which is, I think, is typical of the Torah. But
so there's a difference in crying and complaining and cursing.
Yeah, okay. So the first approach, I think, is that these people are most susceptible to being cursed, and hence the Torah offers a additional protection.
Well, it's also similar to like a rav of a shul. you know, people complain. No, but I'm giving an example. Yeah. You know, nowadays, you know, people complain or, oh, the rubs to this, he should have said, you know,
listen, if I wanted to, if you wanted to pull a Musser point out of this, I think it's certainly true. A rub puts himself in a position of,
he gives Musser to a Kahal, and they're going to say, we don't have to listen to him, because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Who is he? He doesn't abide by it. Right. He doesn't, it's certainly, certainly worth to think about, that people are in those positions. It's easy not to curse the person who you have no involvement with. It's much more challenging to curse the person who you might have a complaint against. The judge should have gotten you your shirt back. I mean, that's the, he should have enforced it better. He should have been more on top of it. He's the one who took it from you, and he should have enforced the part that got it back to you. And he didn't, and he failed at it. So you have a complaint. You know, people always say, you know, it's very strange to say sinat chinam. It's not for chinam. It's always I have some reason for it. So the question of the validity of that reason is the thing. Okay. So he says it's not just the nasi you can't curse. You can't curse anyone. V'laman amar cheresh, right? And why, when the psukim say you can't curse anyone, does it refer to him as a cheresh, someone who can't hear? Shafilu zeh she'eino shomeh v'lo nitzta'er b'klalazu lok al kilato. And even if the person can't hear your curse, you're still obligated. That's why the Torah says cheresh, because it's the most expansive. And even the person that's not bothered at all by your curse, he's basically unaware of it. Even that person, you can't curse. The yearly shemakalat hakatan loka harehu kcheresh shemakalat hamet pater. Right? If you curse,
it goes to show that it's not the guy you're cursing; it is society itself that
hears
it.
Yeah,
it's the
undermining
of society.
Yeah, the one last that I do think is interesting. I do hakamakalat hamet is pater though. I mean, there is a line to eventually. Okay, you want to curse a dead guy that has no impact. At some point, we have to recognize that.
There is a problem of cursing a dead person.
What's the source?
About a parent.
What?
And you have to treat good kavod.
Even when they're dead?
Sure. All the worse, I think.
Okay.
And if you curse them after they're dead, it's considered a.
I believe you.
Okay. I don't have a source here, but I believe it's a bayah.
So the Rambam says, "Ho mekal kol adam yisrael chayav." Lama yiyached lav ledayim v'lav lenasi lechaver. Why does the Torah spell out a dayan and a nasi? So he says lechayvo shtayim. What's that mean? Lechayvo shtayim.
Two lavim.
Which to me seems a little strange. Meaning it's just, you know, what's the idea behind? Okay, now you did two things wrong. What's the difference between these two wrong things? Right. What's
again? They're in a different status. That's why.
And therefore, what?
Therefore, that's why you're over two instead of one.
What have you done differently? And I think that, you know, you've begun to touch on in terms of what happens in society when people curse the government, which I'm not sure people today agree with. But I think maybe that's what he's hitting on.
Something else has happened
other than someone's feeling getting hurt. You know, and that's why there's a separate law. There's a separate thing that's happened negative because you cursed one of these people. Right? If you curse an old person, you get
one.
Im kilo dayim lo kashdayim, and then he goes im kilo nasi lo kel shalosh. I think because the nasi is also
a
dayon status. Ubei nasi, getting into the son of a nasi, shekilo aviv chayim mishun arba. Right? Yeah.
Because it's also an off.
Because he's his father, he's a dayan, he's a nasi, and he's a regular person. It's fun, it's interesting, but what's the difference? I mean, why is it that, you know, that each one of these.
When they say curse also, is it just like a very mild negative comment, or is it
I'm not sure we're going to see it inside, but definitely the Rishonim say to get the full punishment. Again, the difference between what's wrong and what gets the punishment. To get the full punishment, they say b'shem. You have to use, you know, Hashem's name. It has to be an official formulation. But again, does that mean that's what's wrong? I would think probably not.
I have a question for you. A lot of times, the Gemara,
you'll
have Tanaim who curse other Tanaim for saying things.
Yeah.
So how can they do something?
Well,
they're
allowed.
Yeah.
A judge can curse another judge.
Question.
And they don't curse.
You know, but you,
they
no, 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 they no, no, they've cursed people. They macaw them. They really.
Yeah.
So how do they? How can they do something like that if it's they're over a law by that?
Maybe one judge can say not nice things about another judge.
You know, it doesn't bother me as much as I think it would bother the Rishonim, because to me it makes perfect sense. To me, that there's a time and place when you have to. How could they not? Meaning, how could they stand by when someone's saying something that would lead Bnei Israel astray, that would, you know... But again, the Rishonim didn't seem... It's a progressive...
Meaning in the Knesset, can they speak differently about each other
right.
than us plebeians against
them? Let's see. Sefer HaChinuch.
And none of us, I don't think any of us, curse the government. We all have strong opinions. But cursing is a very strong, you know, appellation.
Let's take a look how the Chinuch says it, because I think that he has a very difficult piece to read. I think it's difficult, but
look at the Rambam. They burned his books. I mean,
yeah,
they went very far.
Not this one. This one he's straightforward. This one people accepted. Okay, we're reading the Sefer HaChinuch, who codifies all the mitzvot by Parshiot. He was
the Rambam codifies.
He does. Mitzvot. Yes, the Rambam also has a Sefer HaMitzvot. The Sefer
HaChinuch. Does he put this in one of his mitzvot, the Rambam?
I'm sure not to curse.
Did he put? I would assume for sure. Also,
I'd assume anything.
We have a sefer mitzvot
shiur because it might be included in something else. That's what I'm asking. Is it a separate mitzvah?
We have a sefer mitzvot shiur, Ellie Weber. Yeah, once we'll great, ask Ellie.
Okay, I gotta remember.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
I'm not sure. I think that he does, but I.
Okay.
Yeah, the truth is. One second.
Because sometimes he includes it in other mitzvot.
Yeah.
Like Yishuv Eretz Yisroel, it's not a separate mitzvot yet.
Yeah. So right. This is the Rambam.
See what I'm picking up?
Yeah. Listen, this is certainly one which I could imagine is included in others.
Right. So that, mm-hmm. is it a separate mitzvot or is it included? That was the question.
Yeah. So the Rambam gives, it's not always identical, but in the beginning of every sefer, he lists the mitzvot that he's going to cover there, and he does list as the mitzvot Shlola Kalal Dayanim, Shlola Kalal Hanasi. And then he has separate Shlola Kalal Adam Mishar Bnei Adam.
Okay. No, that is very specific. It's not the mayor of the town. It's not the Mortza. It's very specific. Judges. And the High Court and the Nasi, the president.
The Nasi.
Yeah, but if you have people representing the government, would that be included?
It's a good question, and it's definitely discussed amongst the Rishonim. We're not going to get into it, but some people limit it just to the Melech.
Right,
because some people expand it already to a Nasi, which is very different than a.
But if you're an appointee of the Nasi, it might go into that category also.
Yeah. Let's see. We're not going to see right now. But we're not going to look into it now. But there definitely is a lot of discussion as to who fits into this category of the Nasi. Okay. The I like this piece in specific because I think this is
316. Rambam
negative.
Oh, there you go. Everyone loves technology.
Hey, Google. Rabbi Google.
Not the cursor ruler.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good. It's pretty. Sefer HaChinuch happens to disagree, but most people seem to think that it's not just the king, or it's much more expansive.
You can't curse your parents.
Well, can't even know that. You certainly can't tell.
No, that's well. I mean, it may learn right.
Yeah, that's interesting. If there's a hierarchy, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. What I like most about this piece is that I do believe for hundreds of years after he wrote this, there was no controversy here because government was conducted in a certain way and everyone read this and agreed with it. And now to us, it seems, at least to me, it seems very, very difficult to...
Well, I think years ago you didn't have a choice because if you went against the government, you weren't around the next day.
No. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
The majority of the government...
But he's speaking now from a theoretical perspective. He's speaking now what he thinks is the, so let's take a look and you'll tell me if you think that what he's saying is...
You didn't exactly have free speech.
Yeah, certainly not. But
ruling stuff with a consequence.
Well, that's exactly the point.
You have free speech short term.
Free speech doesn't mean absolution of responsibility.
No, it's a good point. And even today, free speech brings with the consequences.
Herod tries to get one of the times to badmouth the king.
Yeah.
He refuses to do it.
Yeah.
And Herod says, "Boy, if they were all like you, I wouldn't have wiped you guys out."
Okay, you ready? Shalom Kalal Hanasi. Shalom Kalal Hanasi, Shinamar, Venasi Bamcha Lotaor, Uba Perush Hanasi Zahamelech. Okay, so he takes a limited approach. Vamnam Zalav Kolel Kamokin Hanasi Shebi Israel, right? And nobody extends it from not just the king, it's also the Nasi Shebi Israel. Vurosh Sanhedrin Gedolish Nikra Nasi Gamkin, also the head of Sanhedrin.
Now, a question for you. Is this only the time they ever Sanhedrin?
I believe not, but
because they're combining the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they're doing it together, can maybe it's only the top of the Sanhedrin.
Logically, I don't see why it would be. I mean, it doesn't seem to be an idea that's
specifying. That's otherwise, why specify with Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
It could just be Nassim Shabbi Israel.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also the Rosh Sanhedrin.
Well, the only difference would be a Deraita versus Rabban.
You're saying if it's not exact, well, listen, to fulfill the deal right, so there still are going to be very strict parameters. It's unlikely that, you know, I mean, that's b'shem. That's, you're right, it might have the melech, kind of, but I'm, yeah,
just
at least in this instance,
just out of curiosity.
At least in this instance, I'm more concerned about the ideas that he's setting down than whether you violated the deal rights or not. That's a much more technical question. Right? And he's pretty clear about that.
So in other words, even if it's not a malchus of Torah, you still have to be careful.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that he distinguishes between those two. Which is interesting also because...
So people don't realize this.
That what?
No, malchus...
Yeah.
Memshalat Malchut.
There's a separate.
He doesn't just say Malchut Yisrael.
The Minchas Chinuch, which we're not going to really look at inside, but it's interesting. The bottom left, v'nirli pashut the lavza the nasi who davke imitzmane v'kasher min haTorah l'min hazeh. He says he's got to be totally halachic, and he has, and it's obvious to me, and he shows some cases where they seem to prevent the. They disagree with him, and now hordas. How do you explain it? How do you ever have
it's not political dissent. It's just cursing.
The
leader.
That's certainly not the way the Chinuch is going to take it. But yes, right. You could have gone that way. Mishar Shem Mitzvah. Just so people understand the Sefer HaChinuch, how he operates, and why we'll hopefully see him a lot because I really enjoy him. Is he quotes the mitzvah, and he has a section, and again, if what I'm saying is repetitive, you can stop me, but he says Misharshe HaMitzvah, which is where he tries to give a
source?
He tries to give a flavor. He tries to give the idea. I mean, what's this mitzvah really about? Which is certainly a controversial thing, whether people should be given Misharshe HaMitzvah, don't give them Misharshe HaMitzvah. Well, from the Rambam says not to, but does it all the time.
Is this Tamei HaMitzvah? Exactly.
Meaning he really tries to give the root of what's this mitzvah all about. And just so you appreciate what this book was, he wrote this for his son. It could be that's not true. I don't even know historically.
They don't know who it was. They say it's for his son's coming up from Bar Mitzvah. So write this for a 12-year-old.
I'm learning with my son also, but no, because I do think it speaks to kids because of the fact that he doesn't just... It's not just the cold mitzvah, but he gives what's the... again, you see the way that he's structured. And then he's got a... In mind to have it's not be bolded, but I've seen it bolded in some. He's got Misharshi HaMitzvah, which is like the... what's the idea behind that? He's got Midini HaMitzvah, which is...
Also bolded.
It's bolded? Right, well,
it's darker. It's a darker print. Here, look. There's a darker print than the rest of it.
Didn't do a very good job darkening. I think he could have done a better job, but I've seen other versions.
It is bolded.
Medina HaMitzvah is where he gets into like the nitty gritty of, okay, exactly who's it applied to, exactly when it applies to. So that's just the way that he works structurally. So Mishar Shem Mitzvah. Letisha E. Again, and Bruce, you were saying, oh, is it just cursing or is it critiquing? Meaning, is it just me who's extending this thing to critiquing? It's not just me. Mishar Shem Mitzvah. Letisha E. Afshar Li Shuv Bnei Adam. People can't function unless we appoint someone to be in charge. You got to put someone in charge. You can't have everyone. Can't be in charge.
You can't support anarchy.
You can't support anarchy.
Well, you need a rosh.
You can't have
10 people. Yeah.
Which isn't a concept that was always obvious. It's been obvious for a very, very long time. Because Korach, but I think it's more complex than that.
But you also, you see, by Shmuel, where they wanted to have a melech, they wanted to have a rosh.
Yeah.
No, but we have an idea of an opposition.
But
they don't have that.
Let's see.
They don't have an opposition party.
Because I asked about it the incorrect way, but they
was it right? Was it wrong? I happened to touch on that a little bit looking into this. Why is Shmuel so against it? I don't think we're going to see it today, but
okay. Maybe it's just as a thought.
No, very interesting. I have to say, because I thought it was interesting, that one of the Rishon, I think it might have been the Abar Vanel, explains why do the Jews get critiqued so severely by Shmuel? Why do they get rebuked? And So he writes, because they try to unify different components of the government, namely the religious and the secular. And that was a mistake, to have one person who should be overseeing all those different things. Which I thought was, which I thought was a fascinating thing. And there's nothing wrong with the melech, just you have to recognize what role that melech is going to play, and it should be independent of religious requirements. It's crucial that you have
to have a question. Didn't David HaMelech, wasn't he a shofet also? And Shlomo? I mean, you have two malachim that were shofet.
Yeah, but they also had Nevi'im, they also had Kohanim.
But other, we want to have a united kingdom under God. You just want to have a government for security purposes that ignores our role in this world under Torah.
Yeah,
that's like the Gaim.
I've heard Micah discuss that when a king, I think he's quoting from something he likes, but that he when they do appoint a king in the Torah, the limitations that they put on him requires him to diversify the power. I mean, you can't have too many wives. What's the point of having wives? And wives was a political alliance. It's strictly that's what it was for a king. I mean, it was if you wanted,
Well, 18's a lot.
No, if you wanted concubines, you'd have a thousand concubines. But wives were.
I was 18 wives, and Shlomo says, I'm too smart for that. I know the issues. No problem.
Yeah, no. So he says, you can't. So with regards to politics. It can't be controlled strictly by the king. You can't be strictly the one who's in charge of political alliances. Loyer Bela Susim, you're not in charge of the army. It's not you're one player in that, but you're not the
You can't be a dictator.
Exactly. Judaism believes that yes, a king. I was like, how can we have to go back to a king? But it was a very different type of a monarchy. What's a king that can't make political alliances, can't have a strong army, and can't have too much gold, which he can't control the economy. He doesn't make decisions on taxes. It's a very, very limited figure that, if you take away these components of his power, it's a very, very different king than we would
say. The king of England, the queen of England now.
She's even more extreme.
Right, but I'm just saying, very limited power.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So he writes, you have to appoint someone to be the head. Everyone's got different opinions. Interesting. And people will never agree on anything to unite and, to do the same thing. So because people can't agree, you're going to end up with bittul. What's that mean, you end up with bittul?
Nothing.
Nothing's going to get
stagnation. Done. Stagnation. The government shuts down, which is just so fascinating, comparing it to, American, certainly
now. This is after a vote, and after something's decided, following that, you then can't do that.
That's certainly a very progressive view of what the government was when he was writing this sefer, that it was such an open government, but... Interesting.
But you know, going to the Nasi, once the decision is made.
When's it considered the decision made? And is that true?
Mamre, but once they decide.
That's halachic. That's halachic. That's a different. That's different. Why do I say that?
Because you allowed a lot of dissent in Judaism. Halacha. You all the time.
Halacha. I feel a little bit concerned that I'm recording this, but halacha. Lo b'shamayim. We'll talk about this for sure because this is certainly a topic that we're going to cover here. And the psak is the psak regardless of whether it's right.
Well, you see that in the Gemara of Rabbi Eliezer, where everything went,
Exactly.
The trees moved.
Exactly.
The Gemara says.
The ultimate example.
But isn't that the Nasi and the Melech?
No, because the Nasi.
You're sure they made a wrong decision? You still can't, once they decided.
So I would disagree when it came to a Nasi. I would think that even if they decided we should be selling these arms to, Malaysia, no, you should still protest because it's not now right. If the government, if the rabbis say, you don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos. You don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos. You can't keep fighting it. At some point, you don't want to keep tzitzis on Shabbos. But if the government's doing something, that has not been categorized as now the correct answer. Once halacha stamps something as the correct answer, that is the correct practice, regardless of anything outside of that. I would beg to differ when it comes to governmental decisions.
You're dividing the state, religion and state by doing that. And I think in Judaism they were together in a way that didn't allow that.
I'm not sure they were so together in Judaism. Well, let's see what he says. So he says if people continue fighting, again, at what point is the decision considered made? I'm not sure. But if you keep fighting, everyone's going to end up just being paralyzed. Val came, Trichim lekabel dat echad mehen, im tov im ra, which is, crazy. Who would agree with this nowadays? Leman yatzlichu v'yasku ba'osko shel olam. Right? Pam yimtze be'itza tov v'chayfa tzot toelet. Toelet rav. V'pam ha'efach. Sometimes you'll follow the government decision, they'll raise taxes, it'll be great. And sometimes they'll raise taxes, it'll be a disaster, it'll crush you down. The bottom line is, you got to go with it. And all this is better than the machloka, which causes complete bittul, complete, you just totally give up.
You can say, if you're a member of a party, you're obligated, I think, to vote with the party.
In Israel and America.
In America, they
in America, you don't have to vote.
You don't have to. But if you're part of the Likud and there's a bill put up, you're supposed to vote with the party.
You're supposed to, but I do believe in Israel as well. You don't have to. You won't be a member of the Likud anymore.
I see.
But they can't. I mean, once you have a seat in the Knesset, you're a Knesset member, regardless of whether or not you vote with the
party.
Likud.
Well, there is that expectation. That you
of course. Well, listen, that's why you became a member of the Likud. That's why they appointed you or voted for you based on what party you're talking about. But. Yeah, there certainly is no requirement. And
I think Oslo came about because two guys broke away from Somet and voted along with the left for Oslo back when it was, when they shouldn't have done that.
Mitsubishi.
Yeah. Right. Whether he's saying you can't open your stores on Shabbos or whether he's saying, you know, we have to let the police, reside in your houses, you know, whatever the secular, whether this is a religious or a secular law. Roy Hadavar the Kasher Shalona Kelbik Vodo. And truth, before we talk about that line, because I think that it's interesting too, Shalona Kelbik Vodo. I happen to think that this is a very good parallel. My wife, when I always talk about Oded Revivi and his view of democracy, at least that's the way that people in the Zion perceive it. And what do I mean by that? For better or for worse, Oded Revivi, maybe I shouldn't use his specific name, but I think this is many, many politicians. They feel like they were elected. Now you need to let me do my job. Not everything's up for discussion after I've been elected.
Yeah, many politicians will say that.
Many politicians will say that. And many constituents disagree with that. They say, no, we elected you to continue doing our will as it changes, as it develops.
Well, you're elected by the people. The people expect you to do what they want,
I happen to be a fan of, once you elect a person, you do need to give that person some
leeway.
Some leeway to act, even if it's against my initial decision. I believe that the person is going to make the larger decision. He doesn't need to ask me every time he wants to open a new school, who should be the principal? Everyone come for a town meeting for a vote, who should be the new principal? No, I elected you. You might choose someone I like, you might not choose someone that I like, but I entrust that you're going to make these decisions overall in a way that I'll be happy with.
Well, there used to be moats that each neighborhood had to represent. I'm not sure if that's true anymore. Is that how it works in Israel?
No, I don't think so.
And therefore, you had a representative of the Mozart. You know, they had a vote to rubber stamp.
But if you're really concerned about what he's doing and what the government here is doing, they have open meetings all the time.
Yeah,
you can go and sit there every day.
Yeah.
Which is different from cursing out the mayor again. It looks like a public curse leading to an anarchic situation.
I don't know, you think that this is talking about a public curse? People that read it traditionally would think that, yes, but it's not about cursing. It's not about...
You're in your house, you say, oh, I can't, this person did this and this. You know, that's not
to
be public.
To me, this is...
He's reinterpreting it for his day.
Yeah, yeah. To me, he's saying, should you have a protest in front of Oded Revivi's house if you're not happy about taxes? He says, no, you should not. You're just going to...
What about moving residents out of Yishuv?
He would say...
You have to go with
that. Go with whatever they say. It's not your decision.
But if you don't say anything, then things don't change. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. Okay?
Yeah.
Before your time,
in
the 70s, you
had...
You had Triple SJ, right? The Student Struggle for Soviet Jewry, right? And they did a lot of protests, and things changed because of that.
Right.
If you would have kept quiet against the government, there are good chances things would not have changed. So sometimes protests do make a difference.
Yeah.
But that's not true. We're not talking about protesting.
But you are.
Where does he make that extrapolation?
If you ask me why I think that he takes this route versus the Rambam's route of a curse is a curse, why he thinks a curse is a disagreement, is because I think he was bothered by the fact of what's unique about the Nasi. Lo tekalel Nasi. There's something. It's not just don't curse someone. Don't say a curse. Don't say God should curse you. That's
Because in the day,
for a regular person,
no king,
what's unique about a Nasi?
When there was no king, there was a Nasi. He's
exactly
a representative
exactly
of the people.
Exactly. And he felt, okay, but you're not allowed to curse anyone. Of course you can't curse this guy. That's why I think he reinterprets it to say, it's not an issue of curse, you can't disagree with him. You have to support him. You have to go, you have to.
You mean there's a specific law about cursing people in general?
Look, Halal Charesh, can, yeah, absolutely, yes, yes.
Oh, so that's the whole basis of why then say so, I see.
Meaning the Rambam said, yes, so you have two lavim, three lavim, because your father's was a Nasi, right. Thing, four times the same, you know, four lavim. And he says, well, what's the difference? I mean, what's he got, you know, two versus one, what's the qualitative difference?
See, a person you curse out because you ran over your kid's bike. The Nasi you curse because you just don't like his policy. It has nothing to do with you specifically.
Yes, yes, and he thinks that you need to support the Nasi's policies.
Right.
You know, which... It's fascinating.
No,
I think it's.
I don't think he's saying
okay,
that. I think he's saying
not to curse, which is different from not supporting.
It doesn't say you can't. Yeah. It doesn't say you can't disagree.
You can quietly dissent.
I don't see that.
The Alkin. I'm reading here about you know seven lines down. The Alkin shrichen lekabel dat echa mehen im tovim ra. I mean, you have to accept it. That's the way he's reading Shlomo Zolok El Nasi. Yeah. Whether it's good or bad. L'mayin yitzluchuv yaskub
as kishmolim. Wait a minute. Lakado means you should accept. Doesn't mean you have to agree.
No, but you have to
say. You have to agree.
You can disagree. You can disagree.
Maybe in your mind.
You're accepting it, but you can disagree.
Yeah. But
okay, but that's a low-level disagreement. That's a low-level disagreement. Say, I disagree with... Meaning to protest, I don't think he's okay with that. I don't see how you could read this that he'd be okay with the protest. You're right. I'm not happy with it. You're right. Maybe that
can justify.
What?
Morgan
Shine. Exactly. This is exactly. This is exactly.
20 guys. They don't have to agree. But
exactly.
They don't have to say anything.
Those 20 agree. No, we know those 20 don't agree. That's the whole point. They're a separate party, but they keep it to themselves. You know, that's their own. That's their own thing. Yeah. Yeah. I want to go back to the China thing also because I think it's fascinating in a second. But no. When I was in China originally, it seemed absurd to me that, you know, that the government is so restrictive and you have these people that can't say anything. And but then I was in India recently, and
that's more of a democracy, right?
The largest
which
democracy
is, wow,
in the world.
India is open, and it's free, and it's a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly what China is, and the people are suffering. 1,000 times more than they are in China.
Because
there's no organization. There's no, you know, everything is under the table. There's no.
But they have 50 languages and 50 little substates. It's not as unified as China. All cultures.
You're right. That's because communist says we're going to unify. We're going to dictate.
No, I mean, China is more of a monolithic society. Forget the government.
Okay.
China. Made up of
the Chinese government has regimented things. And because of that, many people are prospering there. Even the poor in China are do much better than the poor in India. I mean, the lowest level of people in China are doing far better.
Well,
and forget the upper class.
Is economic prosperity on the seesaw regarding free right, human rights? So we'd say, you know what, let's give up our human civil rights if we can have more money in the bank. Is that
I would have thought no, but now having been in both countries, I think the commoners in India, what do they gain from these rights? They prefer to have, you know, less freedom of speech and a roof. You know, like that's the. I mean, they're literally.
Is that bad?
What?
Is that bad?
Oh my gosh! It's worse.
The only reason it works in China, is because they reformed their communism to allow the laissez-faire free trade side to function versus the individual freedom and political system.
I think you're right. I'm not sure exactly how they pulled it off or what the failure is in India, but there's no doubt that. They certainly have.
It came from the changes.
They certainly have.
And isn't Taiwan even more successful?
And they're free. I'm not sure. You're right. I'm not saying it's the only focus, but there's no doubt that the Chinese government, by telling its people do what we tell you to do, has enabled its people over the past 20 or 30 years to thrive. Again, not
Russia
all of them.
The
people still carry the little red book.
Russia tried that too.
Yeah,
and
you're
Russia
right.
was
Listen,
not so successful. With
yeah,
that.
You know the nuances as to why one country is successful and are complicated, and I'm not sure, but I think it's certainly interesting to think of how valuable is freedom. You know, we're taught that freedom is the be all and end all, and you know, as long as I have freedom of speech, doesn't matter if I have a roof over my head.
Well,
I'm
the thought
sure
is that in let's say communist Russia, the way we were taught it, was that because it was a centralized economy, people could not do what they wanted for their own personal gain, and therefore no one benefited.
Yeah.
Well, in America, this is apart from the human rights aspect of protesting. With an open economy, you could go in the direction that you need to.
Yeah.
It's
like
we're separating, here we're combining economic issues
with government issues. I definitely hear. Yeah. Interesting. I'm not sure what's led
to China. You're in the patent business, but they have product patent infringement to China. out the kazoo.
Less and less. But okay, and but then he throws in this other idea, which you had said earlier, shelo nakel bekvodo, which I think is a little bit of a different direction than he's taken until now. You shouldn't not to lessen their honor.
Right,
you shouldn't make his honor light.
Like the king, you shouldn't have their honor.
Well,
I'll give you an example.
Protesting.
A king walks into the room, you have to stand up right. for him.
Yeah, but that minimizes yeah. just even protesting among your friends.
Yeah.
That'll lessen his honor.
But he's saying, you can't lessen the honor of the king. I don't think he says with anyone.
That's your Kiddush Club. Don't say bad news to the king.
Yeah. The gam shalom lekalo is the first time you use the word lekalo.
A few
shalom befanim, and you shouldn't curse him even not in front of him.
He's
sitting at your Shabbos table,
right?
But that's cursory. Right? Saying, can you disagree with him in your house? I can't tell you from this piece that he says you can't. That I'm not sure.
But he's combining it all.
What do you mean?
It's all one paragraph. It's
one idea.
A separate
yeah.
section.
Yeah.
It's all one idea. So you could say he's including this in even doing it in your house.
Yeah, let's see.
Depends how so much you want to go from cursing to...
disagreeing.
Yeah.
The first time he introduced cursing is in your own house. Outside, he's obviously a much broader explanation for what you can't do.
I'm sure there was a time you didn't speak against your father in the house, no matter what.
You're right.
So
whether or not
you're
right.
So if we extrapolate that to the leader...
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. you know, you have the statement, the wolves have ears. So
yeah.
even if you do
well,
it in your house,
you'll see that in the next line.
Hear.
You'll see that in the next line explicitly. The kol shekhen bifnei edim, and certainly in front of edim, kadei shelo navo mitoch kach lichlokimo. Don't do it in front of edim, not because you're going to get the punishment, which okay, maybe you will too, but that shouldn't become an issue that people saying, you know what, he's right, you know, he actually he's got a good point. We should be lowering taxes, you know.
Well, look at the Gemara that talks about the Romans, how they one person spoke bad, one person
yeah.
spoke, they did it for themselves, one person said they did it to help everybody. Person spoke bad about the Roman government.
Maybe because
yeah.
there was
didn't
no,
make it.
Maybe mm-hmm. because in those days there's no ability to amend the governmental process other than overthrowing
yeah.
the king. Today we can.
It would be fascinating to see what government he was living under, which I had meant to look into, but we're not
so
sure who wrote in the first place. So what?
What was going to be Spain? So it's kingdoms. So if you protest mm-hmm. the king. And he'll be
yeah.
overthrown.
Yeah,
it's not that there's a process by
yeah.
which you can amend.
But
well,
maybe
case.
That's a good thing. The king should be overthrown if he's not
well,
doing
that
things that
you want
to
start a coup.
Yeah.
Well, that leads to this anarchy that they
yeah.
want to provide.
Right, that's what he wants. Around. Nowadays, I don't think any of us think that that's true. That we don't think protests will lead to anarchy. Protests will lead to new decisions. Will lead to Jews being let out of Russia.
Right.
Being
because
led
we,
to.
We have the ability to do that in a democratic process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, just because I want to see one other source, I'm running out of time, but Medina Mitzvah, just so you see Medina Mitzvah, because I don't want you to think that he even leaves it as a halakha, you can't disagree, because he does limit the again. Mishorshei mitzvah is the idea. Medina mitzvah is the nitty gritty. Who it applies to, exactly how it applies. Mashar mizukron lebracha she'en chayav alav ela hamakalo b'shem or kinoy. You actually only violate this issur if you shame Hashem or a kinoy or a
very curse the person out. That's
you certainly
okay.
wouldn't get mad. Is it okay? No. Read the paragraph
no.
before. It's not good at all. But you know, you violated the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He would agree with the Rambam if
yes.
he followed that before.
Yes. He doesn't disagree with the Rambam that you violate multiple Isurim. He just explains what's the difference between the Isurim. That's what was bothering him. What's okay, one, two, three. What's the fundamental difference between you know, between cursing Hanasi and cursing someone else? The Nohag B'Zecharim, and the Kevet applies to men and women. Ba'art, u'b'chol makom sh'niyeh imalkeinu, o im rosh sanhedrin gadol. Any place that we have our, you know, a Jewish rule, which is interesting too, that he limits it to that.
I'm sure he didn't think we're going to have a Jewish rule again.
Well, he means even
the local
kilo.
How many years ago was this?
It doesn't mean
right.
a national rule.
I don't know.
Right.
You're living in a town,
yeah.
there's a Jewish shkuna
yeah.
with a high
rule. How many
I would
towns
actually expect that.
Yeah,
every town had it. You know,
yeah.
totally standard.
Yeah.
And
you couldn't go against
mm-hmm.
the decision
yeah.
of the ruling.
Yeah. Vimbein Hanasi called Lolo, it's the Nasi's son. Again, they all love this. That Loka Arba, you get four. Shalosh, which is what we said, and another another one because of his father. I want to see one last horse. Do we have Nasi 5 minutes? Or what?
Yeah, yeah, until 10:10.
Okay.
Nasi's son was often the next Nasi. So to bad mouth him.
Yeah, with the bad mouth.
You could take 6 if you did.
Is he doing a good job?
Yeah. I think it's interesting to just, I have to mention this also, it's not the key part of the Shia, but I think it is very important to know that people think that democracy is such a great form of government that so archaic is
the best of the worst.
So I think that it's a very flawed government or thought process to value it so high because of the fact that I happened to be reading this recently in Rabbi Sachs's books, is that democracy doesn't protect the weak. It doesn't protect the minorities. There's nothing about a democracy that protects the minorities.
Well, you have a social system for the minorities and for the weak.
Well, if the masses decide.
Right.
And if the masses decide against it, they don't have it. That's why it's
an American of welfare. What's welfare?
No, that's because the majority want it right now. But if all of a sudden, the government decides tomorrow, it will take a process, but we think that we need to get the blacks out of this country. They're not appropriate anymore. It doesn't fit. You're right. 50% wouldn't work because they'd have to cause an amendment to the Constitution. It would take a 2/3 majority. It would take a process. It would probably take 6 months. But
take a long.
There's no fundamental problem with a democracy. There's nothing just about a democracy. Democracy is just for the majority. The majority are able to.
No, the worst part is a minority government, so to speak, where the government does things against their mandate, and then the people are stuck.
Yeah. No, listen, I think there's what to be said about democracy. There are certain values of it, but it's certainly not altruistic by nature. It's not. I mean, it's just, it's just a good form of organization. It's a good form of progressing, which I think is what the Chinuch is referring to, too. We just got to move forward.
And
not,
the Jews
for better,
the
for worse.
Forefront of political revolutions all
over
the world.
You're right. You're right. People have, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. not seeming well, a so part
you
of ha- our system.
You have an idea.
Do that.
You have an idea. You certainly have an idea. Well, let's take a look in general at the Jewish approach towards government. Pirkei Avot discusses treatment of government, and I think it's interesting. I just want to close on the way that different people read this Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim Omar. Rabbi Chanina, who it's interesting who he was, just in the context to appreciate, he was a Tana who lived at the very end of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So he's someone who certainly lived through wars, lived through an overthrowing of a government, rebellions. Again, second Beis HaMikdash, we weren't in control to start, and political, the government's feeling is what led to its destruction. But okay, he was assistant to the Kohanim. Havei mitpalel b'shloma shel malchut. Right, you should daven for the wellness of the government. Shel mali mora'a, because without fear of government, ishet re'eyu chayim balo. Without proper government, then people will destroy each other.
He rebelled against the government.
He did, or he?
Is this Chamei ben Taridon? Is that what this is?
No,
he just told Torah in public, and they burned him wrapping
what,
around the Torah.
Was that who it was? I'm not sure.
If that's him.
He gave his last name.
And Bruria was his daughter, one of his daughters.
That's Rabbi Chanina.
Is this Rabbi Chanina?
Is this Rabbi Chanina?
Is this Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Chanina and Trasa?
He just listened as Rabbi Chanina.
The Gemara in Avodah Zarah.
Yes, we just did.
His wife was Bruria.
No.
Yeah.
What?
His daughter.
No, it was
that's Rabbi Chanina. This is Rabbi Chanina. And I only know that Rabbi Chananya is quoted next in this mission. I know that's the same person.
His wife, she actually killed herself.
So two ways to read why you should in fact be davening for the government. Again, I think it's just a general view of how you view government and how important they are.
Well, that's why you have the Dini of Malchus, where they say tefillah from the Medina.
No, that's a whole separate group.
But that's enough. For Chutz Lars, you have from the Medina.
Yeah.
For Chutz Lars.
Two different approaches towards how valuable government is. First, I'm reading Rabbeinu Yonah, and again, I'm sorry, I'll just read it quickly. Zeh ha'inyan rotzolomer sheyesh ladam lehitpalel al shlom kol ha'olam. Why should you pray for the government? Because you should be praying for everyone. Ulehitzta'er b'tzar shel acherim, it should bother you when other people aren't doing well. V'chein darachan shel tzadikim, and tzadikim is k'mosh amar David, alav ha-shalom, v'ani b'chalom v'tam levushi, levush zake, niti b'tzom nafshi. She'en lam lasot tachnunav, v'akshatol, l'tzarcha b'lvad. Don't just pray for your own things, you should want everyone to do well. And again, the approach of the Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't really value the government, it's just that yeah, it's good if everyone does well. Government are people too, so pray for the government and.
You should pray for the government. Otherwise, you have, mass killings.
In terms of the value of the government first, so the Kahaki takes it in that direction, and I think that's a nice perception of the government. So the Kahati writes, "Vafilu shel umat ha'olam." You even have to daven for governments of the rest of the world. K'moshe ne'amar v'darshu et shlom ha'ir asher hegleiti atamcham felu ba'ala ba'adai al Hashem. Right? Ki b'shloma yelachem shalom. An innocuous statement, but innocent enough. Wherever you get exiled to, even pray for that government, that there'll be peace.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Tosfos Yotzei Mevu'ah b'shloma shel malcha. Who a melech imsara v'yotza, the king and his advisors, yes, who's included in this, ha-manhigim malchuto, v'osei mishpa ba'aretz, right? L'fikach lo amar b'shlom ha-melech. Therefore, the Mishnah doesn't say pray for the well-being of the king, other b'shlom ha-shel malchut, the whole entity. Right? And then he's going to expand on that further. She'el malei, without kingdom, ish et re'ehu chayim ba'lau, people would swallow each other. Sh'amru, Lemaimim shalu bnei adam v'dagei hayam. Why are people compared to fish? Shakatu v'taseh adam k'dagei hayam. People should be compared to fish. Madagim shavim kol hagadol mechavero bolei at chavero af bnei adam. Just like fish, the biggest fish eats the smaller fish. That's the way that they act. People would act the same exact way. Ilmalei mora shamachu. If it wasn't for the fact that we have government.
Strong-armed people are the ones who get their way a lot of times. So
you're right, which I think is an interesting perception. It's certainly something that political philosophers have debated for the years. Would people get along? Would they fight with each other? But according to the Kahati, he certainly thinks that the government plays a fundamental role, and certainly saying worth praiseworthy, worth supporting. I'm not sure if we should go to the extent of the chinuch and support them.
In all circumstances,
but definitely the array of opinions are out there.
Thank you, Rabbi Joel. It was great. We supported the decision on the topic. So
yeah. Okay. Thank you.